Friday, Terra Master, Hey, Ada Toshin, Hey, Rishim and Birbal.
Hey, good morning, Shalom Avrocha. Purim is in 9 days' time, so I'd like to learn with you probably the most famous halacha of Purim is the mitzvah to drink. So let's learn it together. There are some sheets which we'll use to go through this sugya a little bit. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Zayin on the base, Amar Rava, Mechayv Inish Lubsume Bepariah, Adelo Yoda Beinara Haman Lavarach Mordechai. A person is obligated to drink until he no longer knows the difference between Arahaman and Lavarach Mordechai. The Gemara brings a very famous story. Rabba Barab Zeira. Of the Sudas Purim Bahadi Hadadi. The two Amoraim made the Sudas Purim together. Ivsum, they drank a little bit too much. Kam Rabba Shachtel Reb Zeira. And Rabba Shechted Reb Zeira. Lamacha Bai Rachami. Tomorrow, the next day, he davened to Hashem Va'achye and was able to revive Reb Zeira. The Shana Amalei Naisi Mar Venavid Sudas Purim Bahadi Hadadi. A year later, Rava said to Rav Zeira, "I had such a good time last year. Maybe you'll come again and we'll do Sudas Purim again." And Rav Zeira's answer was, "I'll give it a miss this year." But the Gemara says something different. Lo bechol shata v'shata misrachesh nisa. Rav Zeira answered back. He said, "Not every year will a miracle occur. So even though a miracle occurred this year, not willing to rely on it next year." Fine, that's the end of the Gemara. I have two questions. Number one is, where does this mitzvah come from? How did Rava know? Where does Rava know it from, that there's a mitzvah to drink on Purim? Answer? So the Gemara goes on to say, the next statement of Rava, Amar Rava Sudas Purim Sha'achla Belaila Lo Yotze Yidecho Vaso. Someone has the Sudas Purim in the night of Purim, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. My timer, the reason is, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv. Yom Tov, it writes, V'Samachta V'Chagecha. Regular Yom Tov is a day of Simcha, which is also accompanied with Vaso V'Yayin. But Purim is specifically called Yemei Mishta, and Yemei Mishta, Rava understood that means during the day, Yemei Mishta requires us to drink more than we would on a regular Yom Tov. Fine. The next question is, what does the Gemara want, without looking at the rest of the sheet, could cover up the rest of the sheet, what does the Gemara want from the story of Rabba Rav Zeira? Why does the Gemara bring this story? To teach us what? It's a nice story, it's very entertaining, and we learn that Rabba has the powers of Tchias HaMesim, but what do we learn from the story? What is the message of the story? What's it coming to teach us?
Don't trust anybody.
Okay. Anything halachic coming out of it? So let's have a look what the Rishonim did with this. The Ran, I quoted on the sheet over here, the Ran, another Rishonim, the Baal HaMaor, a number of Rishonim, understood from this story that there's no such halacha. This whole halacha of Rava is rejected based on the story of the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara brings it. Let's take a look inside. The Ran says, Kosov Allah Rabbeinu Ephraim v'zeh lashono. Mehu uvda de kam rabba v'shachta le Reb Zeira. Idchilei. It should say, memra de rabba. The story of the Gemara teaches us that it's rejected. The statement of Rabba is rejected. V'leis hilchasa kavase v'lav shapa dami l'mevad hachi. So this halacha is deleted. That's how the Rabbeinu Ephraim, many Rishonim, understood. The message of the story is to refute the Rava. There's no such halacha. So for those of you who like to drink on Purim, it's bad news. There's no more halacha like that.
If that's the case, then why did Hashem refine Rav
Zera? Well, I guess he didn't deserve to die. So he was revived to give another chance. But the storyline understood the Ran was to teach us that this is halachas we don't pass in light. Now, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, the next source says, Shulchan Aruch Narachayim Tofrit Tzadi Hei, Hilchus Purim, Chai V'nish Lipsumi B'Puraya, Adalo Yoda Bein Aruch Haman L'Varach Mordechai. What does that sound like? Lipsumi, that's the language of the Gemara. What does Lipsumi mean? Rashi says it means lishtaker b'yayin, but this Shulchan Aruch seems to have done Tchias HaMesim, right? We just killed the halacha of Rava, we just killed it, but the Shulchan Aruch just brought it back to life, correct? Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha, so obviously we do have a mitzvah to drink, according to the Shulchan Aruch at least. So the question is, I ask you again, so if so, why did the Gemara bring the story of Rava Rav Zera? I can't learn like the Ran now. Can't learn like Rabbeinu Ephraim because the Shulchan Aruch obviously does accept this halacha. So why did the Gemara bring the story of Rabbi Rav Zera? Anybody? So we know and we've seen throughout Shas that whenever you have the word ad, like in this case it says ad delo yada. So we had it in, for example, in the Tfilas HaShachar in Brochos. Reb Yehuda says the Tfilas HaShachar is Ad Arba Shos. So Gemara had a whole discussion. When it says Ad, it means Ad V'Ad Bichlal, including the fourth hour or not. Ad V'Lo Ad Bichlal. So here we have the same word Ad in Rava's statement. Ad D'Lo Yodav Ein Araham L'Baruch Mordechai. We can ask ourselves the same question. Does that mean to include Lo Yodav Ein Araham L'Baruch Mordechai? Or it means to reach there, but not to get there. Up till there, but not there. Right? That's the question. And the Yad Ephraim is going to show us that that's exactly what the story of Rabbi Rav Zera is teaching us. It's teaching us, make sure you do not get to the stage of Lo Yada. Don't get to the Lo Yada. You must stop just before you reach that point. Add the Lo Ad Bichlal. And why is that? So let's explain a little bit. What's the idea of Baruch Haman, Baruch Mordechai and Aru Haman? What's that concept? So the Taz explains that there were two separate miracles that happened on the Purim. First of all was Aru Haman. Aru Haman was the destruction of Haman and Amalek as he represented them. That's number one. Now that might have been enough. But there was a whole second set of miracles, the elevation of Mordechai. Mordechai was promoted and the Jews were promoted. That was a whole separate thing. It wasn't necessary. The main thing was to remove the threat of Haman. There was a whole separate thing. Baruch Mordechai. Mordechai was elevated to a high position. Those are two separate miracles which we give Shevach and Thanksgiving for. It's a little bit similar perhaps in our times or in 70 years ago when we talk about the destruction of the Nazis. In the Second World War, so the Jews were, Baruch Hashem, the Nazis were finally defeated. That's one thing, but then that led, right, the return of the Yidden to Eretz Yisrael, particularly, led to a tremendous proliferation of Yiddishkeit and Torah Judaism. So those two things are separate miracles. So here also that's Baruch Haman, that's Aru Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So the idea is that a person has to drink. Drinking puts a person in the state of simcha. That allows me, on Purim, to be able to think about those two miracles and to give shevach v'hudah, to thank Hashem for those two miracles. But I have to make sure that I don't drink too much, that I no longer can appreciate the difference between the two of them. Once I drink too much, so then the mitzvah is not being fulfilled. Let's look at the Yad Ephraim inside. Yad Ephraim at the bottom of the page writes, Hakavana she'ika hachiyuv shel hamishta hu she'yeh sharui b'simcha. The purpose of the mishta is to put a person in a state of happiness. V'yitein todas v'halal l'Hashem. Thanksgiving, praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu al hanes mitoch harchovas alev. So out of a sense of satisfaction, expansion. V'lachein ein lo listakeh yoter midai. Be careful. Don't get too drunk. Sheyitbalel yitbalbel da'ato. And your mind will be fuzzy, not clear. V'lo yakir betokef hanes. The whole point is to retain your da'as, to retain your mind, to be totally in control, to be aware. That's the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Ad hu velo ad bichlal. Don't get to a state of lo yada. It has to be yada. You have to know between these two particular nisim and be in a state of shavach v'hudah l'Hashem. And the Rabbeinu Ephraim says, and that's what the Gemara is teaching us. Rabba v'Rab Zeira. Now we understand why the Gemara brought the story of Rabba Rav Zeira. The Maisi Siyata brings a support. There's a limit. There's a gvul. So that's the approach of Rabbeinu Ephraim. That's the approach of Yad Ephraim. So two approaches so far. The question we ask is why the Gemara brings Rabba v'Rav Zeira. And the answer number one from the Ran is to teach us that we don't paskan Rabba. We don't follow the halacha of Rabba because it's way too dangerous. We don't follow Rabba. The answer number two in our learning from the Yad Ephraim is that we do paskan Rabba, but it's defining Rabba. Rabba has a limitation to it. Rabba, this story is teaching us don't take Rabba to the nth degree. Don't say ad ve'ad bichlal. Learn that it means ad ve'lo ad bichlal. And keep your mind always focused. As soon as you lose your mind, you're not doing a mitzvah. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is to express hakaras hatov, thanksgiving praise for the nisim that happened, the Baruch Mordechai and the Aruch Haman. That's the approach of the Yad Ephraim. There's a big question. Let's try and plug this back into the story of Rabba v'Rav Zeira. Again, according to the Ran, the message of that story is that we don't do this. And according to the Yad Ephraim, is that we do this, but we do it with restrictions and limitations. So let's plug that back into the story. Rabbi shechs Rav Zeira, he revives Rav Zeira, Rabbi comes next year and says to Rav Zeira, hey, if you'd like to come back again to my house, and let's celebrate Sudas Purim together. So what should Rav Zeira say? What would, based on the Ran and the Yad Ephraim, what should Rav Zeira say now?
He went over the limits.
Last year, but this year? We learned our lesson. What's the problem? Last year, we went over the limits. We understood from there, according to the Ran, that we don't paskin rava anymore. Or, according to the Yad Ephraim, we do paskin rava, but with limitations. So there's absolutely no problem why I shouldn't come back to you next year. Why not? We've learned our lesson. We understand that there's limitations. The law doesn't apply at all. Or there are limitations. So Rav Zeira should have come back and said, I'm coming. Why is he saying, Lo b'chol shata v'shata misrachash nisa? Why is he saying those words? Why is he saying, oh, miracles don't happen every year. What are you afraid of? Why is he afraid? Why is he afraid? Didn't he see the Ran? Didn't he see the Yad Ephraim? They're telling us what was learnt from that story. What was he afraid of? Why is he saying the lo b'chol shata v'shata misrachash nisa? Why is he saying those words? You hear the question? What?
There was no Ran at the time of the
Okay, right. Okay, I understood. So the Ran and the Yad Ephraim are saying, teaching us, what's the message from that story? Fine, but that's hard to say. That's hard. We're dealing with Rav Rav Zeira. Right? They also understood they did, so they may made a mistake, but now they'll take the message and apply it henceforth. And that's what the Ran and the Yad Ephraim are teaching us. These are the messages you're supposed to take out from the story. So Rav Zeira shouldn't have had not had any issues about going back to Rav's house. Like Gemara says, Lo b'chol shata v'shata misrach ha'shnisha. This is a kasha of the Pre-Chadosh. Pre-Chadosh, one of the big places in the Shulchan Aruch, asked this kasha on these Rishonim. That's the point. Know when to stop, or don't drink, or know when to stop. That's the message they're going to learn. We're not going to make the same mistake. So it seems according to this, There must be a third approach. According to this, there must be a third approach. Let's just review. Again, we want to know why the Gemara brought the story of Rabba Rav Zeira. So approach number one says to dismiss the whole halacha of Rabba. Approach number two says to define it, to modify it, to give it some parameters, to give it limitations. Ad v'lo ad bichlal. But there must be a third approach. And what must be the third approach? What's the third approach? Go for it! Go for it! That's the third approach, and that's what the story is telling us. It's telling you ad v'lo ad, v'ad bichlal. The other, completely the other side. What? Okay, oh, you'll tell me, but the guys one shechted each other. Okay, fine, so be careful. Be careful, but it's not telling you has for shalom like the Ran to dismiss the whole halacha. On the contrary, adrabba, it's telling you this is the way you're supposed to do it. This is the way you're supposed to do it. Ad v'ad bichlal. Now, you be careful, I understand. Be careful. Be careful. But be careful doesn't mean let's reject the whole law or say ad v'lo ad bichlal. Go for it. You have a mitzvah. Ad lo yodah ben arhan baruch Mordechai. If that's the case, now we understand beautifully what Rav Zeira meant. Rav Zeira said, lo b'chol shat, I'm not coming again, because maybe next year a miracle is not going to happen. Exactly, because he was concerned that the same situation would arise again, because that's what potentially ought to arise again, because it's a mitzvah, ad lo yodah. Not like the yad Ephraim, it's ad yodah. And you're not meant to lose your das. According to this approach, it's ad lo yodah. That would be an answer for the against. It's a whole new approach. Against the Ran, against the Yad Ephraim. And we now have a new idea, right? Perhaps the idea we're most used to. The really mitzvah really is to get to a state of lack of das. Now let's just look at the Ramah. The Ramah I quoted here under the Shulchan Aruch, before the Yad Ephraim. He writes the following. Hagar. Everyone has it inside. Hagar, v'yeshom rim, de ein tzrich lehistaker kol kach, ela sheyishte yoter mi limudo. He should drink more than what he's accustomed to. Limudo is what he's accustomed to. V'yishan, and fall asleep. U'mitoch sheyishan, ein yodeya bein oro haman levaruch Mordechai. And as a result of his sleeping, he no longer knows the difference between those two things. So can you tell me, gentlemen, who is the Ramah going like? Is he going like the Ran? Is he going like the Yad Ephraim? Or is he going like this third idea that we just said now? There's a new idea? So it's a new idea. Who is he closest to? Because I don't have a fourth approach. Who is he closest to? Third and why? He's saying he drink, but he also says some interesting words at the end. Let's bring it out this way. Let's bring it out this way. according to the Ran and according to the Yad Ephraim, is there a mitzvah to lose your das? To lose your mind? Definitely not. According to the Ran, definitely not. There's no such halacha. According to the Yad Ephraim, also to lose your mind is not the mitzvah. You have to be there still. You have to be constantly in control. Once you lose your mind, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah because you don't know the difference between... You're not able to give the proper praise. According to the approach we just said, we'll call it the pre-chadash or the third approach, of course, the mitzvah is to lose your mind. The mitzvah is to get to a low yada. We'll have to explain that in a minute. Why? But the mitzvah is to get to a low yada. So according to that, to whom is the Ramah like? Because the Ramah says those words at the end, Mitoch sheyashan, eina yodeya bein arahaman levaruch Mordechai. Right? The Ramah is interested in putting you in a situation where you don't know the difference. Okay, he's talking about sleeping. But the goal of the Ramah is to get you there. Is to get you into a state of lack of knowledge. Or unconsciousness. He's getting you there. The question is, why is he doing it? How did he make up this new idea? Where did he get that from? Where did he get the idea of the sleeping from, maybe? Again, everything has to come out from the Gemaras, right? Everything is what comes out. So I would say, the what? Yeah, I would say. I would say that's, again, the story is telling you, the story is being brought to teach you this is the extent of the mitzvah, but it's also telling you, be careful. So it could be from here we see the Ramah understood that this is a good way to be careful. and a way of fulfilling the mitzvah at the same time. Some kind of compromise, but understanding, preserving the main point, that the main point is at the low yada, ben Aruha l'malach Mordechai. Okay, so again, just to summarize again. So we've had three different approaches. And they're understanding this mitzvah in a different way. Right? The first approach, there's no halacha. The second approach, there is a halacha, but ad v'lo ad bichlal. The whole mitzvah is to get to a state of simcha in order to praise Hashem for all the various different miracles and to understand the nuances between the different miracles that happen during Purim. But to keep your mind, to keep focused. Once you're losing your mind, once you feel you've lost it, then there's no mitzvah being fulfilled. Whereas this third approach, which we're now suggesting is in the Ramah, is saying the mitzvah is ad lo yada. You're meant to lose. Yes, you're also meant to lose your faculties. In a way, obviously, that doesn't create danger or something which is not appropriate. But that's what Rabbi and Rav Zeira were teaching you. They went that way because that's what they were supposed to do. And, okay, things went out a little bit out of hand. But essentially, principally, basically, the mitzvah is fulfilled by ad lo yada. And that explains beautifully the words of Rav Zeira. Lo b'chol shata v'tshata misrach eshnishta. I'm concerned next year the same things might happen and I can't rely on the miracle. Fine. So the question we need to ask ourselves a little bit now is, the question everybody asks is, what kind of mitzvah is it that we lose our mind? Right? There's a das, the Gemara says in Brachos, we know G'dola das, that it's written between two names of Hashem. The das is our most precious faculty, our mind, our awareness, our intelligence, that's the most precious thing that we have. So how could there be any kind of mitzvah that we're meant to lose our minds? And of course, this is a kasha only on our third approach. Adelo yada, what's this idea of Adelo yada, ben Aruham and Baruch Mordechai? That's obviously specific and it tells us something unique about the Yom Tov of Purim. So what would that be? So many have tried to answer this. So I'll just present an approach that I understand a little bit, which is based on the Zamaral in the Sefer Or Chadash, his Sefer on Purim. So he writes a couple of lines there in a very brief way. The phrase in Megillas Esther, "Vanahafochu," right? The things were overturned. The Zamaral writes the words, "Zeh ikah gadol b'Megillah." This phrase, "Vanahafochu," that things were overturned, is a fundamental. Is a fundamental yesod concept of the Megillah. What does he mean to say? So what it is, I think, is we know the Gemara and Brachas, we just learned it in the Daf Yomi, that when we hear good tidings, we say the Bracha of Hatov Vehameitiv. And when we hear tidings which are not so good, we make the Bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Now, the truth is we have Emunah Shleima, that every event that happens to us, even if it seems to be negative, is letov, right? Gamzu letov, kol avid rachman letov avid. Everything is letov. And nevertheless, we believe that. But lev shalem, that everything is letov, and it's all coming orchestrated from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, ultimately for our benefit. So what's the brach of Dina Emes? Why are we saying that? Why are we not saying atova ameitiv? Obviously, the reason is because we understand it, maybe intellectually there's such an idea, but it's not something we really feel, we can really see and sense clearly. So at the moment we say, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Lasid Lavo. So it says, Bayam Ahu Yehashem Echad Shmo Echad. Lasid Lavo. In the future we'll be able to appreciate that all the events of history, and that which seems to be calamitous and seems to be difficult, we'll appreciate how everything was part of one big tapestry, in order to come out with the final goal. We'll appreciate things much more and appreciate how everything really was for the good. The idea of a nafochu was that in the days of Purim, they understood that all the events that seemed to be so disastrous, like the rise of Haman in particular, you know, everything was flipped around, and they understood how, so clearly, how it wasn't just that the Ra disappeared. They understood how the Ra, the whole time, the Ra, I'm calling it the Ra, the evil, the calamity, that which is the disastrous things, it was all coming to serve and pave the way for the good. So it wasn't just we got rid of it, it disappeared. We now understood how all along it was a setup for the good, right? Just the Haman's gallows is a perfect example. He builds these gallows, he's really building it for himself, right? Every action, and this is something that was realized so clearly on Purim, and it is an illumination, a ha'ara that exists on Purim, that everything is turning towards the good. It's being not just it's all part of a plan which is meant to turn towards the good. That was something they understood clearly on Purim, and is an awe and an illumination and an inspiration that exists on Purim. So according to that, it could be the idea here is that Aruch Haman Baruch Mordechai, Adelo Yoda Ben Aruch Haman Baruch Mordechai, is that on Purim we have the opportunity, or the mitzvah, one time a year, to try and get to a state of blurring the difference between those two things. Because really it's all one. It's really the Aruch Haman is Baruch Mordechai, because it leads to it, and it's serving it, and it's all the time its purpose is in that direction. And it's never meant, Chas v'Shalom, in any kind of negative sense. It's always meant to serve the good. It's not something we can appreciate right now in our world, in the world that we live in, because that's what we see. But on the La'atid Lavo, and Purim is like a microcosm of La'atid Lavo, of the future experience, we will be able to appreciate that. So the mitzvah on Purim is to try and get to the state where we can not determine the difference between the two, and for that we need to drink. If we drink a little bit, you know, when a person drinks, so they're able to put aside all the different cheshbonos and all the various things about that he's thinking about, and he's able to just focus very, very purely and simply on the simcha that's at hand. So that might be the idea why we're meant to lose our das, in order to help us, to assist us, appreciate that all that which happens in the world, even the difficult, all the difficult times, is already coming, purely and only coming, for constructive reasons, for positive reasons, to build us up, to build us up, to build the Klal Yisrael up, and go towards the future redemption. So just to finish off once more, that we mentioned three approaches here, how to understand the Rabbah and Rav Zeira. What this story is telling us, is it to reject the halacha? Is it to define the halacha, that's the Yad Ephraim, or is it to actually literally say the halacha is to go Adelo Yoda Ben Araham Baruch Mordechai, and just the person has to be careful. But that final approach is the one that Pri Chodesh takes on, and it's the most, it fits in the best with Lo B'chol Shaita V'Shaita V'Shachash Nisha. And please God, we should all be Zocha to fulfill this mitzvah properly, and to feel the sense of simcha that the whole world is really going towards the future redemption. All the ra will be removed. Kol harishah ka'ashan tichya be'ezes Hashem kein hi ratzon.